Okay, welcome to Crane Christian Church. We are going to talk about Joshua. So if you'll go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. So during communion, I didn't write down any of these notes I'm going to use now, so that's scary. But something happened about a year ago now, a couple of years maybe ago. And I did a kind of a study. I did not do it for Christian purposes. I did it because I'm a nerd and I like to deep dive on things. And I began to look at interviews of men who fought in different wars, okay, that were able to, I could either read or watch. And it was interesting as I began to listen to what they said. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to take away from the patriotism of these men that fought. The last one actually was a couple of weeks ago. There's some interviews of some men who were flying the bombers over Germany. And at one point, they had a 25% chance of their aircraft coming back after, and they sent them out like 50 aircraft at a time. And 25% of them were coming back. So I want you to think about a man, a woman, a person making a choice to get in an aircraft and fly over there knowing you got about a 2 out of 3 chance. Actually, I think that was over because they did so many missions and they had to go home, okay? So it was that in the time, it wasn't that just that flight, just if they kept going, it was 25% chance. So what they all said is interesting. They loved our country, they did it because, you know, but do you know why they continued to do that? It was the love for one another. The people in Vietnam that I listened to, they kept fighting. They said, we weren't going to throw it down and go home because my brothers were out there for each other. So as I look at that, and as we go into Joshua, and we just spent, if you didn't see it this morning during the first service, we talked about love. Go back and watch that. But as I was sitting up there during communion, I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of different reasons to make choices. Anybody ever get irritated and do something you think, that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do? No, nobody else, okay. But, or out of desperation, you might do something you think, that probably wasn't the best thing to do. Out of fear, do something, maybe that wasn't the best thing to do. But for God so loved the world, he so loved you. So as we get into this morning, let's look at Joshua, and as I studied it again, and this morning in prayer, guys, I just want to tell you, it just ripped me, and I hope that you can get, maybe I can get that across, what I saw in this. So, number one point from last week, your victory is contingent upon your willingness to continue. Nobody ever wins a race that stops in the middle of the race. So are you willing to continue? And guys, I want to tell you, there's people quitting, giving up all around. I have friends in different denominations that are part of different movements. And there are churches open everywhere because nobody wants to be a pastor, okay? There are churches shutting down because nobody's going. Are we willing to continue this thing? And you say, I don't like the music over there, you know. Well, I'm sure there's people that said that in the 21 or 2 years I've been here. He don't even start on the right key. Anyway, but it's contingent upon your willingness to push forward. And I want to ask you this morning, what do you think would have happened if Jesus as he is down there on that rock, crying out to God, crying out to God, if there's any way I don't have to do this, Lord, please. And to the point that sweat, blood was coming out his pores, straining that hard, if he just got up and said, you know what? I'm just going back to heaven. Did you see how those Pharisees have treated me? They're jerks. Hey, can you see how my guys, my own guys are denying me? And the guy that was keeping the finances, he actually turned me in. And what had happened, we would be in trouble, wouldn't we? So he is the firstborn of Minty is a flavor. He is the firstborn of many, okay? And he is calling us to continue to push forward. You don't know what's happened to me, Bruce. You're right. But you don't know what's happened to me. You don't know what I've been through. I don't know what you've been through. I know what some of you are going through. Some of you have been through. But I want to tell you something. God's telling us today, your victory, your personal calling, your victory is contingent upon you being willing to continue to push forward. So the second thing is, God will not desert you. He will not leave you or forsake you. God will not. You say, it feels like nothing I wanted happened. Nothing. It didn't. No, but listen to what I'm saying. I get it. But he has not left you. The circumstances of this life sometimes are not great. Is that true? Yes. Okay. Yesterday, I thought it was beautiful the way I bounced up off the ground over at your house. Okay. Kim wanted me to drop off some, what was that, baked spaghetti? Baked spaghetti. Okay. Okay, whatever. So, and it was, thank God it had a good lid on it. So I get off there and I didn't even pull in because of the ice. I thought, I just park in the road. You don't know. I don't ever get a ticket hardly. So I get out and I take about three steps and I'm just hurrying around and I got on my ugly boots with things on the bottom. I'm like, I'm in good shape. I hit that ice and go, whoop, boop, bounced. And I got up. I thought, well, I'm trying to do something good here and it ain't working out real good. Trying to do what my wife said. Okay. So I had two choices. When I hit the ground, I could have laid there and go, you know, look at this. And don't get me wrong. It didn't feel great. But anyway, but the point being, now that I'm almost 35, I don't bounce quite as high. But the point being is this. Guys, some of us have fallen. Some of us have hurt. Some of us, and maybe nobody even knows about what you're going through. But here's the deal. Don't lay there. Get up, okay? Because God has not give up on you. Don't. You say, yeah, Bruce, but I got this problem. Yeah, but I got this problem. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. There's not one guy, not one lady in the Bible. In the middle, while God is using Jacob's mom and Esau's mom to get the line for Jesus to come from, in the middle of all that, she's tricking her husband. Okay? You girls are sneaky. We know that. But anyway, not as sneaky as the guys. But anyway. Oh, somebody just got an expression. Sorry. Okay. God will not desert you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And he says right here in this scripture, he says, be bold, be strong, okay? And every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you. That speaks to the continue to push forward. Keep going forward. Keep going forward. If you can't, you need to hear that today. I don't know who you are, but you need to hear it. You say, I'm fixing to quit. No. Keep going forward. I'm giving up on this dream. No, keep going forward. I'm giving up on what God said. No, keep going forward. And it may get harder, okay? But your willingness, everywhere that the sole of your foot, anywhere the sole of their foot didn't hit, they didn't get. Is that what happens? Is that what that says? If you flip that scripture, I'm going to say it like this. If you just stand still and the sole of your feet don't go anywhere, you're not going to get nothing. Okay. The second thing is I will not desert you. Okay. Is in Joshua 1:5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave or forsake you. Okay. If you're feeling that this morning, hey, I got feelings too. Okay. I could go ahead and sing the song, Feelings, Nothing More Than Feel. That's probably copyrighted. We won't do that. Okay, but here's the deal. The third point, again, I'm emphasizing these for a reason. God's word. And I want to tell you, can you imagine me saying, I'm going to walk from here to Shreveport, Louisiana? Which it's been done. It's not a big deal. Okay? I could do it. There's not a doubt in my mind I could walk from here to Shreveport. It's only 350. It's only about 500 miles. Okay? I'm sure I could do it. Okay? And can you imagine me saying, but I ain't going to eat nothing from the time I get it, from I leave here. I'm gonna eat a couple of cans of sardines before I leave. And that's my food reference. And I'm going to eat them too with hot sauce. And then I'm going to walk but that's all I'm going to eat. I'm not going to drink any water. I'm not going to eat anything. And I'm going to walk all the way down there. I think the chances of me ever seeing Shreveport, Louisiana are very slim. Okay. But on the other hand, if every day I got the calories, the nutrients, the water that I needed, as long as I was faithful, I'm telling you, I could sit down there and on the river at Shreveport and eat some mud bugs or something, okay? You see what I'm saying? Crawdads, that's what that is. But you see what I'm saying? Is that true? Okay, well, as long as I stayed off the road. But anyway, but the point being is this. If you think you're going to get from here to where God's got you without eating the word of his God, the manna that's there for you every day, the word of God. And listen, you say, Bruce, when I listen to what you say your study habits are, it scares me to death. Don't be afraid, okay? Because like right now, I've got one study going over here, and you're not called to do what I do, but that's fine. I've got one study going over here. These are personal. This isn't for this place, okay? I've got one over here. I've got one going over there, and I've got listening to preachers, because the load that I carry, the things that I do, that I need something to eat, okay? And I'm going to tell you, you say, well, you know, that guy, I like some of those things he don't. But I'm going to tell you, today, if we go down to Porter's and we get the 21 piece, I'm under no chicken, okay? I'm under no obligation to eat the bone. No obligation. Is that right? So if it gets to something and you say, I like all this, but this don't sound just right, then, right? And I do it all the time. You know, some people say, well, you know, he says this right here and out there. Well, I can tell, okay, never mind. We'll keep going. So don't quit. God will not desert you. And are you getting in God's word personally? And I love the fact that people are watching this right now. I love the fact that you're here. You're braving this weather. And thank you so much for being here. So then there's this thing, okay? That you may observe, and 7, only be strong and courageous, that you may observe and do according to all the law which my Moses. But this, we're not talking about you and your meat and your meat and your milk being in different bowls and all that. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about here, though, is obedience in your life now. God is speaking to you through his word, through your teachers, through the Holy Spirit. He's telling you things to do. Are you going to obey what he says? And remember, we've written it out there on the board before. When you write the word obedient and you look in the middle of obedient, the word D-I-E is there. You have to die to your flesh to be obedient sometimes. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes, this is not a joke. I'm not making a joke. Sometimes the Lord will reveal something to me and I'm like, yes, oh yeah, I don't have to die to nothing. It's like, I want to do that. Yeah. Okay. And then the other times he'll, through my conscience, through, I'm like, oh no. Are you, I'm going to ask again. Maybe I heard that wrong. I'm going to ask again. And here's the deal, guys. Obedience, many times, you have to be able to be willing to die to your flesh. Okay. Another thing he says is this, in verse 10, what's this? Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. A lot of times we just don't want to prepare. Here's the deal. I will never forget. The last thing I ever wanted to do was to be a preacher. The last thing I wanted to do on past being a preacher was to be a pastor. I said, oh Lord, I'll do the singing. I'll do the youth. I'll just do a bunch of stuff. But I will never forget when God would not leave me alone. I won't go into the details. And so I went and sat down with a friend. We had actually mentored each other. He had mentored me, I'd mentored him. And in this situation, because he was a pastor, and I sat down and I said, dude, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. He says, well, it's not very complicated. Life's complicated, that's full disclosure. But he said, what you need to do is not very complicated. Go through the process. The process actually puts you through what you need to go through to be able to do what God's called you to do. And I'm like, what process? He said, if God's called you to be a minister, then start ministering. Start getting credentials. Start doing this, start doing that. I was irritated with the church in the first place. Okay, all of that. Okay, full disclosure. And going through that, literally, I will never forget sitting there before that board and them asking me this question, them asking me this question, and I'm thinking, oh. And them saying, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? So half the things they asked me about, I didn't care about. Okay. I'm trying to get people saved. Okay. If the rapture comes tomorrow, or 100 years from here, I don't care. But here's the deal. Going through that process, submitting myself with the provisions that I had to have, and also then being on a rotation where I had to speak, I was speaking here, I was speaking there, I was speaking here, I was speaking there, regularly speaking, and that also made me have to discipline myself, which then prepared myself to be able to study, to be able to put it together. And here's the deal, guys. As I was obedient to that path, it did something to me. I became, I've probably told this story before. I bought a hybrid quarter horse when I was probably 30, and she was beautiful. She almost killed me, okay? And you couldn't tie her. If she was tied up over here and a bug landed on her head, before long she'd been kicked three things, turned four things over, jerked the rearview mirror off your truck. I mean, it just went on and on and on and on, okay? But I went from that to be able to be something that the Lord could use. And guys, it's the preparation. And then the next thing he says is, go to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word of Moses, the servant commanded you, the Lord is giving you rest and giving you this land. Your wives, your little one, your livestock shall remain on the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed all your mighty men of valor and help them until the Lord has given you brethren rest as he's given you. They have also taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you can come home. And what this next one, the sixth point is this, cooperate with others. If you can't do it by yourself. We had our first Wednesday night in a while this last week, and that was what we're talking about, was the body of Christ, of how, you know, I may be the finger, you may be the leg, the toe, but we all need each other. We can't separate from each other and be able to do what God's called us to do. And this is not about coming to church. This is not about taking an offering. This is about your heart, that you would join yourself to the body of Christ and be faithful to the body of Christ. And as we do that, guys, as we cooperate with others, it's both a sign to the world, as we love one another, they'll know we're Christians by our love for one another, okay? But as we love one another, and as we cooperate, and it's not, doesn't have to always be my way, although I am, you know, right, like 99% of the time, okay? I proved it again this morning. So, I'm just kidding. But here's the deal. Will you cooperate with others? Is it gotta be your way or the highway? Or are you gonna take your football and go home if you don't, if they don't play the court of the rules you want to? And guys, that's the last of the review. And you say, well, that was a long review. Yes, it was, but I may do it again next week because I may need it, okay? I may just do it to myself, okay? So y'all don't have to listen to it again. But here's the deal. For this week, I'm gonna ask you a question. Are you willing to take risks for God? Because I talk about y'all, but it'd make y'all mad. So I'm gonna talk about me, okay? I've been trained for almost 50 years, 40 something years, to mitigate risk. The reason we do things a certain way, the reason we wear this, the reason we do this, the reason we have this piece of equipment, the reason we do this, the reason is to mitigate risk. We do it in the military, we do it in police work, we do it in business. It's all about having everything just perfectly lined up. As a friend of mine says, keeping the hospital gown closed in the back. Okay, so, but the point being is this, guys. Literally, are you willing to take a risk for God? And I can tell you that the risks that I've taken for God have paid off unbelievably. Unbelievably. And He actually has to remind me from time to time because I'm kind of always going forward, you know, but He kind of says, hey, you know, I've got a lot of regrets, but on the other hand, I don't have one time in my life where I took a risk for Him. I don't regret one of them. So I'm not going to use an example in my life, but I'm going to use the example right here because I love, this is one of my go-tos. Verse, chapter 2 of Joshua. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men to the Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here the night from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, it was dark and the men went out. Where the men go, I don't know. Pursue them quickly and you may overtake them. Now that might've been a fib, okay? And no, those pants make you look great. Okay, anyway. So, but she had brought them to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. And the men pursued them by the road of Jordan to the fords. And as soon as they pursued them gone, they shut the gate. Before they lay down, she came up the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you this land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. So we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sion and Og, who you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord that I've shown you this kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sister, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now guys, I want you to hear this. Both sides took a risk. She could have been setting him up to stay in good with her king, to stay in good with whatever, you know. But these guys said, you know what? They're looking for us. We're hid up here. And I'm going to tell you, some of the risks that I've taken for God have been out of desperation. Maybe personal struggle, you know, whatever. But here's the deal. They literally said, okay, we will do that. But you've got to follow these circumstances for this to work. We got to make sure we know it's you, okay? And I want to tell you, as I look at this story, and we'll get onto it into it next week more, but here's the deal. It was risky behavior on her on her part. It was risky because what she was willing to do, she could have been found out and killed at any time. But she had already heard the greatness. Let's just ask a question for your personal. Have you heard that God is good? Let's take a risk and believe what the Word of God says. Have you heard that God will take care of you your whole life? Yes. Let's take a risk. Let's put our faith in that, okay? Have you heard that as God leads and directs you, he will take you along paths of rightness for his name's sake? Let's take a risk this morning. Let's say, you know what? My life has not been easy. My life, I've struggled, I've failed, and whatever you're saying, whatever you're thinking this morning, but here's the deal. Let's take a risk, and let's just say, God, everything I am, everything I have, I give to you. Rahab had nowhere else to go. She had nothing else to do because she knew in her heart that they were fixing to come beat them walls. Them walls were going to come down, and the Israelites were going to be, because that's what they were doing as they came. She had already heard the word. Okay, and I'm telling you that nobody gets out of this life alive unless the rapture comes, which is fine, okay? I'm telling you that nobody is going to look good in every situation, okay? That'd be interesting. But anyway, and nobody gets out of this life without pain and sorrow and suffering. But let's trust him. Let's put our faith in God and be willing to do some risky behavior. And here's the deal. Because, you know, remember what they said about Abraham? Abraham believed, and because of his faith, it was counted as what? Righteousness. How do you figure that? How's that possible? How is that even possible? Him believing what God said was counted to him as righteousness. Okay? So guess what? Her believing what God had said, and it says that later on in one of the apostles talks about Rahab and uses that same phrase, okay? It's counted to her as righteousness. But guys, watch this. Do you know, as we believe, is anybody in here seen Jesus in the flesh? I have not, okay? But as I believe in his salvation, it's counted to me as righteousness. You get that? Okay. So, literally, here's the deal. As we live this life, we're going to have to take some risks, or not. We can be safe and then sorry later, or we can take that risk for him. I'm not saying live a risky life other than that, okay? What I am saying, though, is to be obedient to what he calls. You say, well, that's, you know, I'm not happy, I'm not this, I'm not that. I get it, okay? But I want to go to John chapter 8 and finish up. You say, oh, great, Bruce, you're going to a whole nother scripture. It's okay. We're just sitting here while the snow melts. It's fine. I can see it dripping off the building. Okay. Chapter 8. If I can find it. Yeah, it's in here. Okay. And verse, let's start here. Verse 30. Okay, let's go with verse 30. And he spoke these words, and many believed in him. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. If you know the truth shall set you what?
Free.
Okay. He is the word. He is the truth. And if you know him, he will set you free. You could be free to take a risk. Does that make sense? Yeah. I'll never forget. I don't know which kid it was, because I threw one of them into a ceiling fan one time. I think that was Joel. But what I used to do is I had a pickup, and I think it was, this might have been Sarah, that I set her on the hood of, or stood her on the hood of the pickup truck, and I'd say, okay, jump to daddy. And when I'm close, like this close, she'd jump, I'd catch her, and we'd play, you know. And then I'd move back a little bit, and I'd say, jump, and she'd jump, I'd catch her eye. And then I'd move back further, she'd say, nope, nope. But guys, I was gonna catch her. Well, probably, okay. But God don't have a probably. You see what I'm saying? If he's saying jump, then jump, okay? But this is what I like. And he talks about being a slave of sin. Are we a slave to sin, or do we know the truth? We can be free. And it says, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and if a slave does not abide in the house forever. Because see, but a son abides forever. And verse 36 was where I was going. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And I want to tell you something, and now that I'm almost 35, I've walked into a new level of freedom in my life. And you go, what? Yeah, I have. I don't have to impress people as much as I used to. I'm not saying I'm not proud. I'm not saying all those greedy, blah, 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 all that other stuff. But I've entered into a new level of freedom. And it's like I'm enjoying that. And I want to tell you guys that God is good. And I don't have to be right about everything, because I used to would really hesitate to bring up something because, you know, but I don't have to be right about everything. My theology does not have to be 100% correct. My theology, I can almost guarantee you that my theology is not 100% correct. But I'm going to tell you, the person I'm following is 100% correct. And his name is Jesus. And he's worked out all the details. And because, you know, I'm not, sometimes not such a detailed person. Just, you know, full disclosure. But here's the deal. Don't stop. God will never leave you or forsake you. Decide to be bold, be strong, and good courage. And I can't believe what happened this week. Remember me telling you that the opposite of fear is not bravery. The opposite of fear is action. And this week, a totally different person, not a preacher, not anything else, totally just a leadership deal that I was at. And they said, I don't know if they got it from him or whatever, but they reminded me again of the same thing, that guys, here's the deal. Being afraid causes us to freeze. Fear makes us freeze, but faith puts us in action. So love is a verb, by the way. Love one another. Be bold, be strong, be of good courage, and stay in God's word. I want you guys, if you're watching today or if you're here this week, I want you to jot down 7 scriptures. And I want you to put them on paper. You go, well, I can put them on my phone. Do that too. But I want you to go through the exercise of writing that out, okay? And I want you to put that somewhere you can see, and go ahead and put it on your phone. Take a picture of it, do like I do, you know, and then you can pull it up later. But stand on those seven scriptures for 7 days. Stand on those scriptures, and you go, it says, you know, God loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten son. So when you say that, you read that out loud, you do that, and then you realize as you go through the, you say, God, I'm not worthy of it. Well, no, he loves me. That scripture will come back to you. It will come back to you, and it becomes food to you, and it'll make you strong, okay? And that doesn't mean that after 7 days you have to throw it away. I'm saying, most of you know this story. I went through a situation 40 years ago that I was undecided. I didn't know what to do. It's longer than 40 years. But I literally had them on 3x5 cards in my pocket, and I would be working midnight shift and pull them out and read them several times a night. And all things are working together for my good. All things. And to this minute, I know that, and when things go wrong and it makes me mad, full disclosure, okay, when it doesn't work out exactly like I want it to, but I know that it's working out for my good because God says it, and God don't lie. He's not like me. Yeah, them pants look good on you, okay? But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. Do that. Get bound in his word and be obedient as he's speaking to you. Be willing to take risks and prepare yourself. Go through the process of whatever you need to do. If whatever God's called you to do, be willing to say, well, God, I'll go through the process and make sure you're cooperating with others and walk in obedience to the little things, because remember, the little fox will spoil the vine. So Father, thank you so much for these people. And God, we love you. We thank you so much first, Lord, that you died on the cross for me. And we celebrated that a minute ago, or a little while ago. We just celebrated that, God, because that lays the foundation, Lord, for everything else that I do, that I am saved by your sacrifice, oh God, that I can walk in faith and obedience to you, Lord. And if you have not received him right now, guys, get on your knees where you're at and just say, God, I need you. I've got friends, and if you're listening this morning, I've got friends and family who've been saved in hot tubs. I've got friends that's been saved watching on TV, on the old big crusades and stuff on TV. And guys, I just want to tell you, he is calling your name this morning. Receive him. And then walk in faith and obedience to him and join yourself with people around you. And God, help us to take this to heart today, Lord, and be the men and women you've called us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. One short announcement. If you're local, Wednesday nights at 6:30, we're having a small group here, and we're not eating supper, so get something to nibble on before you come. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you. Give you peace.